We are now live.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Board of Directors regular meeting for LTD. It's Wednesday, October 20th, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I am going to start with roll call. Susan Cox.
Present.
Thank you, Susan. Don Norden.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don. And today we are going to be missing Michelle Weber and also Emily Secord. So I'm going to just roll right into comments from the board president. So what that means is, since we are missing two of our board members, we do not have a quorum today. So what I'm going to be doing is moving two of our agenda items that requires a board vote to our work session that we already have scheduled for November 3rd. So the work session that we have scheduled for November 3rd starts at 5 p.m. and we're going to extend that to 7 p.m. to accommodate for the fact that we are missing these two board members and we need to have two different agenda items voted for. So those two agenda items that I'm moving to our work session, first is the consent calendar. Feel free to review all of the different items underneath the consent calendar, but that is an action needed, a vote, an approval vote. And so we do need to move that. And the other thing is our statewide transportation improvement fund, STIF, Technical Planning Committee establishment. And that's a presentation by Cosette. We also are going to be moving that to the November 3rd work session. So I hope I made that clear for folks when we're going to be addressing both of those agenda items, since we do not have a quorum today. So thank you for being flexible, everybody. And that I just wanted to remind folks that we do have that work session that the public is welcome to come to at the time or at any time. So put that on your calendars if you want to attend then. So that's all I have for right now. Let's move on to comments from the general manager. Mark, is there anything that you wish to share today?
Yeah, thanks, Caitlin. So I just want to remind December 1st is our board retreat. And so make sure that that's on your calendars. And I think we're planning that from around 12 to 6. And then also I'm trying to plan a kind of a GM search kickoff meeting with the board. Potentially that could happen at the November 3rd work session. I'm just trying to work out how much time we need to do that. So, you know, if we have to schedule a special meeting, we'll be try to do that. But if we can incorporate it into some of our other meetings, that'd be great. So I'll be working on that over the next a few days. Other than that, I think I'm good.
Perfect. Thank you, Mark. So I don't have any announcements since I pretty much just shared what the plan is going to be for tonight, and also no additions to the agenda since we had to actually modify, but I want to check if the board members have any announcements. So Susan and Dawn, anything?
I don't have any announcement, but I did have a question. I don't know if that is now the time to do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. When I was going through the reports, one of the spots that is open was for an additional person that's vacant on the GM, the ad hoc GM evaluation. And I would be interested in that if that's still a possibility.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for okay. that, Susan. And Dawn, did you have any announcements?
I have nothing to add right now.
Okay, thanks so much. Okay, great. So I'm actually going to ask if Jake can join us so that he can do the employee of the month for October. So we will give Jake just a second to come on over.
And we are actually having Josh today. He wanted to announce the employee of the month, and I just pulled him over. If we have any technical difficulties, I will pull Jake over as a backup.
Okay, sounds good. Josh, let us know when you can hear and see us. We'll give him just...
Okay, I am pulling Jake over.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
There's just Josh.
took me a moment to come on. So my name is Josh Schmidt. I'm a operations field supervisor, and I would like to present our EOM Employee of the Month this month, Karen Legender. She's been with the company from 7/21 of 17. Unfortunately, she was part of our group that did get laid off, but we were able to bring her back, and I'm so glad we did, as of 9/23 of 20. During this time, she's received multiple, nominations and just compliments from the public. And she did get a EOM nomination this time. And it was someone was on board her bus, and she was having to deal with a different passenger on the bus. And this passenger just recognized how well she was able to de-escalate the situation and just put in a good word for her. And she's just been a fabulous employee. And like I said, she's received multiple, nominations for doing a great job. And I just want to give her a shout out and a great job.
Thank you so much, Josh. Let's give a round of applause to our employee of the month. That's awesome. And Jake, did you have anything you wanted to add? I just saw your audio came on.
Yeah, I would just add, a couple things that when we talked to Karen about her nomination, she's very passionate about being outdoors, family and friends, gardening, and she actually does volleyball in the city league. And her favorite thing about LTD, she just says LTD is a family of workers and true diversity. I think that's pretty special, but that's the way that she looks at LTD. And she is really, like Josh kind of articulated, one of those people that we don't have to worry about that really performs at the highest level day in, day out. And we just appreciate that. That's it. Thank you, Caitlin. I appreciate it. You're mute.
I'm muted. Thanks for sharing, Josh and Jake. And it's always really exciting to hear what our LTD employees are up to. And we know that they go above and beyond. And so we just really appreciate you taking the time to share the stories. And we really like celebrating all the great things that LTD employees are doing. So thank you again. So our next stop on our agenda is audience participation. So tonight we're gonna do things a little different. I just wanted to let everyone know. So we have our normal audience participation, which is for any community member that wishes to share about LTD business. However, we also have our two public hearings. So the first public hearing is on the supplemental budget, and the second public hearing is on the community investment plan. So Camille will be handling these three.
Thank you, Caitlin. I will go ahead and read the instructions for audience participation. To indicate that you would like to provide testimony, please use the raise your hand button. For those attending via phone only, press *9 on your phone to raise your hand. When it is your time to speak, your name will be called. For those attending via phone only, the last four digits of your phone number will be called. Please state your name, city of residence, and who you are representing for the audio record. Once you have provided testimony, your hand will be lowered. Please do not raise your hand again. Only one opportunity to speak is provided. For those who are unable or not wanting to speak publicly, testimony may be provided via email at clerk@ltd.org. Public testimony is limited to 3 minutes per community member. A timer will be displayed on the screen and will beep when the 3 minutes is up. And I am showing one person interested. Let me share the timer really quickly. And more people are showing up. Give me just a moment to share the timer. And we will get that going. Okay, we are going to start with Jess Roshak. Whenever you are ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Hi, Jess.
Oh, hi. So this is going to be about the STIF-funded student bus pass program and something things I wanted to call attention to. But I'm really thankful to the part that LTD has taken historically to facilitate that basic need for getting kids to school and back, allowing everyone access to a school of choice that might be across town. I do have two questions, and that is, how can the STIF-funded bus pass program rollout go better and reach more students more easily? And two, is October 31st, just 10 days from now, still an appropriate deadline this year to cut kids off of this? The need has suddenly, as you might be aware, become greater than ever for this program. Lots of families just this week discovered that school bus routes are canceled due to district shortages and were asked to take a small stipend instead so they can arrange alternative transport. So this is where the incredible opportunity for the STIF-funded bus pass comes in, but LTD handed the rollout of the bus pass program over to the districts. The districts handed it down to the schools. The schools gave it to one of their very overworked and overwhelmed staff people with job titles like secretary and after school care program playground duty. And at my family's school, it happened to be plopped on the poor guidance counselor's desk on September 10th. With no support, no warning, no guidance. It was his job to suddenly dole out LTD bus passes, but he had a million other things to do. But only when specifically asked for by a student. They didn't know to ask because there was little messaging by the district or school until the first week of October. And even then it was just a link to LTD's own press release at the bottom of an email somewhere. And I know because I read all their emails. I see the past distribution as the chief responsibility of this organization as the recipient of the STIF funds. It's not a failure of the schools here. I'd like to get a pass in the hands of every single student and not just those who know enough, happen to ask the office for one or their families. Every single student needs one to learn to ride or to ride as needed. I contend that as the recipient of the STIF funding, LTD is to provide schools boots on the ground, whether that be volunteers. So to complete this mission, I would recommend two actions to think about today, because there's only 10 days, according to LTD's current messaging, where students will either have to pay to ride the bus after, potentially be led on anyway by a sympathetic driver, maybe, and then not counted maybe for ridership, or maybe the students will be turned away, unable to pay and skip school. And none of these really have to happen. So one, given the very difficult and rough rollout of the passes at schools that were placed on the shoulders of school staff, I would highly encourage the October 30th deadline to be extended to December 30th. And two, I would ask whether for this year or probably for future years at this point, I would recommend that LTD work with a core of trained, maybe volunteers, maybe its own staff, to table or reach families at each school in person at the beginning, maybe at the drop-off day or the pickup or during lunch, to make sure that parents and students get passes in their hands, no questions asked. Sorry, I went up to time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Next, we have Bill Bradley. Bill, whenever you're ready.
Let me know if I'm coming in.
We've got you.
Great. Hello, my name is Bill Bradley, ATU Executive Board Officer, representing the operators, mechanics, customer service, public safety here at LTD. I'm calling in today to push for more support out there on the system. This is ongoing conversations we've been having with LTD district management. As we come out of COVID, LTD has taken the prudent step to be deliberate when adding service. But I do want to advocate for, excess positions. So right now we have less public safety officers than we have budgeted for. So we had budgeted for 9.5. Currently, we only have 8. We've had to struggle recruiting into that position. Even at 9.5, it is our workforce's feeling that that is an inadequate number, and we should shoot a little higher. Not only because we're dealing with mask issues out there on the bus, but we have a different kind of population that we're going to have to retrain to riding transit, and we're going to need more support out there on the system to be able to deal with that. I've been dealing with issues from our operators over the last couple of weeks where, you know, more support in the system was needed, but it wasn't available. That's not on the district per se. We've all struggled hiring, but it's just a goal to keep in mind as we look to the future of adding these positions. Getting back to 100% service is a worthy goal. That might require more staff in the support positions than we had in previous years as we come out of COVID, as we deal with the populations that are on there on the bus. I just want to, you know, advocate that the district has the resources available, even if they were more than what we had 2 years ago. Other things I want to say, you know, Jess pointed out that the schools are having struggles with their bus drivers, and, you know, 4J is doing what they can to recruit and retain bus operators. And LTD is there to supplement some of these transportation routes. And the same thing is true for LTD, that we need to retain and recruit operators as well. So everybody's dealing with this problem. We have a limited pool of resources to pull from within the community. And, you know, as LTD makes a deliberate decision to add service in a slow amounts, we have the ability to add quality people to our ranks. So I would continue LTD to go on that path. I think that is a good path to go forward. The other thing I'd like to say is on the finance side of things, you have a presentation in front of you tonight. One thing I will lament in losing is the monthly check roll. I always enjoyed the monthly check roll, and I would just advocate for the monthly check roll to continue. With that, I'll conclude my comments and I'll listen to the others. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Next, we have Farley Craig. Farley, whenever you're ready.
Okay, cool. I think I'm ready. Well,
go right ahead.
Probably not. I'm not going to be as good as Bill was. That was awesome. Looks like someone read Robert's Rules. Anyways, my name is Farley Craig. I am a driver for LTD, and I thought Bill did a really good job of talking about it. The feeling that I have as a driver amongst my peers is that we're becoming very frustrated. I was with lack of security, lack of public safety. And I appreciate that Karen is she's a great lady. She got nominated for de-escalating the situation. Unfortunately, that is becoming more and more often that it's up to the driver to de-escalate the situation on the bus. And us as drivers are feeling less and less supported. And up to the point, I'm even having customers come up to me and voice their frustration at my inability to provide a safe and comfortable spot for transportation. And I love it that we're going to be, you know, expanding service, and I really, I love public transport. I love it here. I loved it in Philadelphia when I lived over there. There definitely is an issue that's been happening, and it's tending to become worse. I've transported banned riders, at which there was nothing that anyone did. They just had me transport them. There's a lot of people drinking. There's a lot of drug use on our bus. And as we go forward and we're getting more kids riding the bus, I think it's also pertinent to bring to attention that these kids are directly in harm's way with this group that we have. I just don't know. I don't know exactly what the answer is, but I feel that if there'd be some sort of way that we could get more support out there, if we could have some sort of more presence, I think that would help out quite a bit. Thank you guys for listening to me.
Thank you, Farley. And Caitlin, I am not showing anyone else indicating they would like to speak at this time.
Okay, thanks so much, Camille. So as a reminder, as you can see on your agenda, we're gonna be hearing from Christina Hsu. So first we're gonna look at the supplemental budget and then I'm gonna open up the public hearing. So I want to invite everyone to listen to Christina and then we'll start the public testimony at the conclusion of her presentation. So welcome, Christina.
Caitlin, oh, I'm so sorry. I did have one late hand come up just as we moved on. Yeah. Would you like to take that public testimony as well? I can pull everything back up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I have John Gangle. Reshare my screen. Give me just one moment. John, go right ahead whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Hi, my name is John Gangle. Thank you. I wasn't sure if I was going to get the opportunity to talk. I'm an LTD bus driver and also an ATU union rep. We were talking about safety, and that's obviously something we all care about. Our passengers, our managers, the operators. I know I'm repeating what's already been said today, but we need more of a safety and security presence. We operators, we don't always feel supported out there in the system. And our supervisors are doing the best they can with the numbers they have. Our public safety are doing the best they can with the numbers they have. But we have a growing population coming out of COVID. We have a growing population, as Bill Bradley says, that needs to be retrained on how to use our public public transportation system safely. And we have a very diverse group of people riding our buses: the elderly, the ADA community, K through 12, U of O, LCC. Our goal is excellent service and a safe system out there. I hope that the board can find a way to increase the numbers in public safety, not just for the operators who are trying our hardest to defuse situations, but for our customers, for our community. That's all I'm gonna stop right there. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you, John. And Caitlin, I'm not showing anyone else indicating they would like to speak.
Okay, well, thank you to John and Bill and Farley and Jess for taking the time to give public testimony tonight. We really appreciate that. And let's go ahead and hear from Christina. So Christina, welcome and thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you. Before we get into the public hearings on both the fiscal year 2022 supplemental budget and the 2022 through 2031 community investment plan, I wanted to provide some context. So the proposed fiscal year 2022 supplemental budget was posted for public comment on LTD's website on September 29th and in the Register Guard on October 1st. The proposed preliminary fiscal year 2022 through 2031 community investment plan was posted on LTD's website on October 5th. A press release was also issued, and public comment is being solicited and is welcome until these documents are adopted. The adoption date for the supplemental budget is currently planned for November 17. The community investment plan is preliminary. The final will be bridged and aligned with the proposed fiscal year 2023 budget. The planned adoption date for the final community investment plan is planned for May of 2022 in conjunction with the adoption of the fiscal year 2023 budget. The budget committee met on October 6. Public comment was entertained for both the community investment plan and the fiscal year 2022 supplemental budget at the beginning of that meeting. I then reviewed the proposed fiscal year 2022 supplemental budget request and the community investment plan in detail and answered questions asked by the combined board and citizen committee. After review and discussion, the budget committee recommended that the board adopt the proposed fiscal year 2022 supplemental budget as presented. This committee also approved the 2022 through 2031 community investment plan projects as presented. The full presentation, including discussion, was recorded and is available in full on Metro TV to any member of the public. Simply click on the link at the top of this agenda, or they can go to LTD's website and click on the budget committee meeting agenda item, which also has a link to the recording. So today we are recommending that the board hold the two public hearings, one on the fiscal year 2022 supplemental budget, followed by a second public hearing on the 2022 through 2031 community investment plan. And these public hearings are to obtain additional public input on these proposals. And the public can also submit public comments in writing to clerk@ltd.org. And based on the board's direction, we will amend these documents and request adoption of the fiscal year 2022 supplemental budget at the next board meeting on November 17. And then once adopted, this document will be posted on the LTD website and filed with the state of Oregon. So at this time, I would like to ask whether you, Caitlin, board president, would like a full presentation of the supplemental budget or the community investment plan, or if you would like to proceed just to the two public hearings.
Christina and Mark, you can refresh my memory. I believe that as a group, we decided to just do the condensed version. Is that correct, Mark?
So this is what I'm describing is just what happened. And that's my condensed version, unless you want me to go through the actual details of the supplemental or the CIP.
I believe we decided that this was sufficient since you gave the full presentations at the budget committee. But I'm going to double check with Mark to make sure I'm correct about that.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right, Kaylin.
Okay. So are we, so next step is the public hearing. Is this correct?
That's correct. There will be two.
Okay. So I am going to just open it, and then I'm going to let Camille kind of give the instructions to everyone just as a reminder. So I do want to remind everyone, when you're giving testimony during one of these hearings, please keep your comments specific to the topic of the hearing. So this is going to be similar to our typical public testimony. If you raise your hand as an attendee, then Camille will know who to call on. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the public hearing for the fiscal year 2021-2022 supplemental budget and turn it over to Camille.
Okay, I am going to give it just a moment to see if anybody indicates they would like to provide public testimony before going through all of the instructions again. And I am not showing anyone indicating they would like to provide testimony on the supplemental budget.
Okay, thank you, Camille. So in that case, I will go ahead and close the public hearing for the supplemental budget. And Christina, I will turn it back over to you for the, I'm sorry, I skipped board comments and questions. Susan and Dawn, anything that you wanted to add or have questions about?
I have no further questions.
I don't either. I thought it was well covered at the budget meeting, so.
Perfect, thank you so much.
So Christina, with that, I will turn it back over to you for the community investment plan.
Yes, so at this point, I would like to know if you would like for me to hold a public hearing or like to entertain a public hearing on the community investment plan.
Yeah, we'll do a public hearing. We don't need a full presentation since we also covered that at the budget committee. So I will just go ahead in that case, since we're not doing the full presentation. And thank you everyone for this, for your patience as I go through this for the first time. I'll go ahead and open the public hearing for the community investment plan and turn it over to Camille.
Thank you, Caitlin. I will give it just a moment again. A hand went up and then went back down. So I'm going to give a moment to see if someone's just having technical issues. Okay, I do have a Rachel Anderson who would like to provide testimony. Rachel, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Hi there, I hope you can hear me. My name is Rachel Anderson.
We can hear you.
Oh good, thank you so much. I live in Eugene. I tried to raise my hand earlier, so I apologize if the timing of this comment is ill-timed. I tried to raise my hand earlier during the public comment period and it didn't work. So I'd like to talk specifically about what's happening with the 4J school district and school bus schedules. I just want to let the board know what's going on. The parents of 4J received an email last week to let us know that 4J is cutting bus service to many areas around the edges of town because they don't have enough drivers. And so I want to let 4J, let LTD know that there are a number of families now that have been relying on bus service who will no longer have bus service available through 4J. So that might be some information that would be helpful for the board to know as we move into the fall. And some of these families were using buses and now those buses are getting cut. So they're having to readjust their transportation needs. So I wanna let the board know about that so that the board can keep in mind that some families will be relying on LTD buses more than normal over the regular 4J school buses. Thank you so much for letting me comment.
Thank you, Rachel. And I will just note for the record that public comment was under normal public testimony and not related to the CIP. Just for the record for the public hearing for the CIP. And I am not showing any further public comment at this time. Thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you, and thank you for making that distinction. So this time we will go ahead and close the public hearing on the community investment plan. Once again, Susan and Don, wanna make sure if you have any questions or remarks, now's the time.
As before, I'm satisfied with the budget committee process.
Okay, thanks, Don.
And I agree.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Susan. So, Christina, thank you for being here this evening. And as both board members have mentioned, great thorough presentation, very robust discussion as well with our members of the budget committee. And so appreciate all the work. We know it's a lot of work and we look forward to bringing this back for adoption with the full board. So thank you again, Christina.
Thank you.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and move on to our next agenda item for the evening. We are pretty good looking at our schedule. So the next thing is gonna be board member reports. So once again, I wanna remind everyone that's here tonight, we are missing Michelle and Emily, but Dawn and Susan, if you have any committees that you attended over the last month, now would be the time to do a report out of what happened at those committees.
Well, Susan, do you want to talk about yesterday's meeting or should I?
You can talk about that one and I'll talk about the strategic planning.
Okay. Well, yesterday we met the Comprehensive and Accessibility Transportation Committee met. It was mostly a recap of this committee because it hadn't been held for several months and it's getting reconstituted. So we had reports from John and Cosette. And I don't know that I have anything specific to say about it. It was pretty thorough presentation, and we're getting more prepared for the next time. And also kind of holding the, special transportation, STF fund is kind of held in abeyance. Because it did some of that other work before, but none of the members were involved in that at that meeting. So I don't have anything further more to say about that. We also met with the Lane Act, and this is a continuing thing of developing the pilot for changing how ODOT responds to the act. And there's also a report on transportation of the pedestrian and bicycle safety program that was thoroughly presented, and that's available on ODOT, one of their medias. So I don't have anything more to say about that.
Thanks, Susan.
Now, I would add that one of the things that happened at that meeting yesterday was that the chair is planning to send out a survey to the members of the committee and asking them what do they think the committee should accomplish, what should be the agenda, how should it move forward in the future. And if any member who was participating yesterday had questions to suggest, that we were to let her know. So, but I think—
Can you remind me who that chair is?
Liz Shulman.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not, L-I-S-E Shulman, S-C-H-E-L-L-M-A-N.
Thank you.
Yes, that's what my notes say. And then I actually, on the planning committee, strategic planning, Caitlin, you were there too, so I apologize if I was kind of jumping ahead there.
No, please, go for it.
Okay, well, it was my first time to be able to participate. And one of the things that I got a sense of is people were kind of eager to reconvene. I think there was also some concern about having infrequent meetings, and they felt like they were sort of, that they would talk about it and then there would be a gap in information and then they'd have to kind of catch up again. So there, since I hadn't heard that, hadn't been involved before, I didn't have anything really to relate that to, but that did seem like, you know, a reasonable concern. I think basically they were happy that it was reconvening, that it was becoming active again, and that mostly I felt like it was a pretty engaged group of volunteers. I was grateful to see that.
Probably a good note to make is that Alma Jesus accepted the vice chair position for the strategic planning committee. I met with her yesterday, and she's got some great ideas and some great energy about really how to make that committee most useful, and just really looking forward to working with her. So I just wanted to note a thank you to Alma, who's volunteering to be the vice chair. And of course, thank you to all of our chairs of our committees and vice chairs and committee members that volunteer their time. So perfect. Well, thank you for filling us in on those committees. Next up, we are, let me see where we are. As I mentioned, we are moving our consent calendar since we do not have a quorum today. We're also moving Cosette's presentation. So Andrea, I'm going to go ahead and let you present. It looks like we are going to be looking at the draft of the amended and restated board bylaws that Andrea, our general counsel, have been working on. So I will turn it over to you.
Yeah, and I'd like to kick it off just by saying this is just for viewing tonight, really. We aren't seeking a lot of input other than talk about when you might want to meet to talk about the bylaws and go through them. So we aren't looking for approval of the bylaws tonight. We want to give the board time to review them, talk about it, maybe the November board meeting, and then we can approve them.
Okay, thank you, Mark. So with that, I guess I will just say that these amended and restated bylaws have put together based on what was in existence previously, which was a little more bare bones than the board members wanted. We were looking for more direction. And they've been put together to reflect current practices and the direction that the board may want to go in the future. And so this is presented to the board members to review. If there are any questions about anything specific, if you've had time to review them, I'm happy to answer those now. Or we can simply wait until everyone's had a chance to review and we meet in November to talk about them more.
I have a question. Appreciate all the effort that's gone into this, but I found myself scrolling back and forth between like literally dozens and dozens of pages. Is there any way for there to be a track change so that there is a kind of a side by side rather than, you know, kind of flipping back and forth to just even understand what changes have been made? Is that possible?
Yeah, I can take the original bylaws and just do a red line.
That would be compare. Thank you. That.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Don, did you want to weigh in?
And we can get those and email them out to everyone.
Yeah, thank you. But on November 4th.
And just for the record, Michelle did also review the bylaws and just had a few comments and questions as well that would contribute to this discussion. But anything else, any other questions? Okay, so we're gonna send out something where we can track the changes.
Mm-hmm.
And any other follow-up?
Thank you.
And is everybody okay with just bringing it to the next board meeting then for a discussion? And you can send your questions or edits. In the meantime, we can compile them all and then talk about them at the November board meeting. And if you want to approve them, that's fine. Or we can, you know, there's no real urgency, but we would like to get through them.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking that the next board meeting for discussion would be fine. Susan and Don, you're okay with that?
Right.
Okay.
Great.
Let's go ahead and set that for the next board meeting where we can have that discussion. Okay. Anything else I'm missing before we move on to our next agenda item?
No, we've got what we needed.
Okay, great. How'd you get off so easy, Andrea?
I know, right? I'll take it.
Awesome. Thanks for being here this evening. Appreciate that. Right.
So I have a question. In my calendar, I have the LTD work session on the 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Yeah. So it is the 3rd, but then do we just say the 4th or did I?
No, we got a November 3rd work session, and then the regular board meeting is, you know, later in the month.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Well, with that, I want to welcome Kim. We are moving on to our strategic business plan implementation kickoff. And it looks like Amy is here also. So welcome, Amy. And I'll turn it over to the two of you.
Great, good afternoon. Thank you for having us here. My name is Kim Lei. I am a development planner and part of the strategic business plan implementation coordination team. That's a mouthful. And also want to introduce Amy here if you want to say hi to everyone.
Hello.
So as you are well aware, we went through the development process back in from January to July, and the board subsequently adopted it unanimously at your July meeting. We are here to share with you very quickly that the plan, we are committed as an agency to successfully implementing that plan. In the past few months, there's been a lot of work behind the scenes at the staff level to get ready for rollout. And I've presented the updates to, I think, all three of you here at either the Strategic Planning Committee or the Comprehensive Accessible Transportation Committee in the past few months. So I won't repeat the same thing again, because then I'm going to sound like a broken clock. Those meetings are, of course, recorded and available online. What I want to share with this group and wanted to invite Amy over is to talk about how we are going to go about tracking on the progress that are outlined and adopted in the strategic business plan. And so with that, let me hand it over to Amy.
Excellent, thanks. And just for a little reference, I am an IT project manager at LTD. I started originally working in a continuous improvement role, and the background that I'm bringing actually is in supporting strategic business plan implementation and bringing continuous improvement focus to strategy. So I'm working with Kim as an advisor to help LTD and the strategic tactic teams think through their information systems and how we can track our progress without it being a huge administrative burden. And so that's really where our focus has been during this initial phase of implementation. What we're gonna be doing is actually using SharePoint. And the reason we're doing that is LTD, as this board knows, I think, is in a time of really exciting technological advancement. And SharePoint's gonna set us up for things to come in the future really well. But what we've done is loaded all of our tactics and milestones into a central point that's accessible to any staff at any time. So they can go in and see what our tactics are, what the milestones are, and the progress that we're making on those. And then we've also developed tactic workbooks that are linked to each of those tactics and accessible by the tactic teams in order to go in and define really clear, discrete deliverables for each of the milestones that will help us understand if we've actually achieved those milestones, as well as action plans. So basic action plans that the teams will develop out at least a quarter in advance in order to help us understand what are the tasks being executed to help achieve those milestones. So you know, Kim and I are overseeing 31 tactics, and I don't have the number off the top of my head, but probably over 100 milestones. And so this is a way for us to quickly go in at any time. We can drop into a tactic, drop into that workbook, and see what kind of work is in progress. We can reach out to those tactic teams to get a better understanding of where the roadblocks might be, to make sure that we're escalating those through the proper channels. And ultimately, all of that information will be captured discreetly so that we can roll it up into a reportable dashboard, which is the kind of the long-term vision here, is that we'll have automated information. For now, we're entering it manually, but we are definitely on the right track to create information systems that roll up into reportable dashboards that we can share with this board and with the community, get real-time insight into how we're doing on our plan.
Yeah, I wanted to, Amy, to discuss the dashboard, because as you recall at the SBC meeting, there seems to be a lot of interest and excitement around that, ensuring transparency. And I think there are some comments about building that credibility and trust with the community. And so we're excited about it as well. In terms of next steps, so we will go to you on a quarterly basis to report out those progress updates. And then to clarify, once a year, we want to come back to this board as a holistic plan to see if we there may be things that we might need to pivot a little bit or to revisit to determine whether we're on track. As you know, this is the first time that LTD has adopted and is implementing our strategic business plan. So there may be hiccups along the way, particularly in the first year or two. And we may realize that some of our goals may be too ambitious or under ambitious, I guess, what's the word? And so once a year, we'll go back to this board for an adopted update. But the plan itself is three fiscal years. So fiscal year 2022, 23, and 24. At the end of fiscal year 2024 is when we would completely update a new version, a new cycle. And so with that, I'm happy to take questions or comments.
John, if you or Susan have comments or questions for Amy or Kim, go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of wondering about SharePoint. Is I've had some difficulty getting into that, and then when I've gotten there, there doesn't seem to be much there. So I don't even know whether I'm getting to the same platform or not.
I can take that question. I appreciate that, because I think one of the things that Kim and I struggled with is that, like I mentioned, we're in a time of technological growth as an organization, which means there's a lot of exciting things in the pipeline, but it also means we don't necessarily have the best tools in place for digital collaboration. So the reason we went with SharePoint is that it is centralized. So in terms of document collaboration, you avoid some of the like versioning issues that would come up if you're emailing a document back and forth, or you have multiple people trying to work on the same document from a server location. But to your point, Don, I do agree wholeheartedly that it's not the most user-friendly interface. And so that's why we've developed the Tactic Workbook model, which is it's an Excel document that's a hyperlink to a SharePoint, basically a clickable link in SharePoint that opens this Excel interface, which is something most of our staff are familiar with using. You know, we also know that there's going to be a learning curve. So one of the things I developed is a user guide. This is a Word document that outlines exactly how, where you go, where do you click? What do you need to open? How do you enter the information? So we have some kind of helpful tools in that sense. And then the other thing is Kim and I have made ourselves really available. So we know that for potentially, you know, the most technologically averse or even longtime users in SharePoint, it's not always user-friendly. And so we're happy to do one-on-one coaching sessions to make sure people are comfortable with the tools. And I think it's appropriate to say that the same goes for the board. So I'd be happy to meet with you and walk you through it.
Yeah, the board does not have access to anything but their own share site. So we can figure out another way to get that information to the board on and we're going to report quarterly anyway. So, so we can work on another method.
Yeah, I want to clarify that what Amy is talking about SharePoint is an internal project management tool for staff to collaborate. What the public will see is the board reports, you know, and the dashboard. So Don, to your point, there is no need on your end to catch up technologically in order for you to see the progress that we'll be reporting out. Are there any other questions?
I've tried to use this SharePoint as a board tool, and I guess we haven't ever gotten engaged with it enough, so it wasn't very useful. But I've also found this, you know, I guess it's the Microsoft program to be very awkward. And I maybe it's just, you know, that it has security things in it that I'm not familiar with, but it seems like the most, it just seems awkward to me and not easy to navigate in. And that, I don't know whether upgraded that program for many, many years or not, but.
Camille can help you, Don. Camille can help you with, you know, getting to the board SharePoint site and navigating around that. So if you need any help, just give Camille a call and she can help you out for sure. Because well, it isn't intuitive.
Susan, did you have any comments about this, the dashboard or the implementation of the reporting for the strategic business plan?
I think this was covered really well in the report that we had. I guess I would sort of appreciate if you're going to, instead of Amy having to help each board member at a time, maybe we could have a group tutorial or something. Because I can bet I'm not going to be very good at
navigating. Yeah, and it sounds like, and I took us too far into the weeds with the explanation of the specific tool we're using, because it sounds like the board is not expected to interface with the SharePoint tool. The reports will be coming out of it. It's just kind of our hub of collecting data. And again, the reason we chose that as our tool is it's our most centralized collaboration tool at this time as an organization.
I guess I see that as down the road, but if you're doing something, it might be nice for us to do it as a group so we could learn together.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, we can set that up for sure. So our strategic business plan is in good hands with Kim and Amy. They're very smart, dedicated folks, and we look forward to kind of moving ahead with that. So thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time. So much for taking the time to be here. All right, let's move on to our next agenda item. We are at, let's see, financial health monitoring. Christina is back. So Christina, I have to tell you, Christina, when I was reading through that and I saw all the Fs, I was like, oh no. And then I realized the scoring was totally different and F meant favorable. And I was like, that's great. So thank you for it's all good news and F's mean good in the world of financial health. So welcome. And we're excited to hear what you have to share with us today.
Thank you, Caitlin. And that's actually, that was just sort of a mock-up sample. We actually, you know, the information that you'll see in there is going to be a lot more robust. We're going to make sure to include things like anything, any of the strategic business plan metrics. We've added a bunch of other things where, you know, we'll have a lot of, trend information and things like that. So I'm really excited to be able to share that with you next. It'll be at the next board meeting. You'll be able to see an actual report that has real data in it, you know, our forecasts and things like that. But I guess to start with this, I've been with the district now for 6 years. And over that time, I've seen board members come and go. And I've also seen the reporting change and grow as a result of requests from different board members. But until now, we did not have a strategic business plan that explicitly stated financial health as the strategic focus of the board. So today I would like for you to open your mind to reimagine how we can partner to continue to ensure LTD's financial health. So of course, our mission is to connect our community. And the board has adopted financial health as one of its 5 strategic priorities to achieve our mission. And in today's presentation, I will present a reimagined approach to achieving this important strategic focus. So many steps have been made over the last several years towards the goal of achieving long-term financial health for LTD. And LTD is in excellent financial health. To continue our excellent financial position, we need to make decisions that live within our means, fully fund maintenance of our infrastructure and facilities, provide for state-of-the-art transit operations while strategically investing in the future. I will also propose best practices for board influence for achieving this. So I've been doing research of other public agencies and their approaches. I have selected the 5 strategies that I believe will be most effective and efficient for LTD. By implementing these 5 strategies, the board will be able to effectively monitor LTD's financial health, have more influence on decision-making, while providing LTD's general manager and leadership team the flexibility needed to make decisions that align with the board's directives and values. Those 5 steps are, 1, leveraging the work done by external auditors. 2, establishing policies that set boundaries. 3, monitoring LTD's financial health. 4, discontinuing non-value added information. And 5, balancing the costs of the monitoring system against the benefit that it produces. So I'm going to go into depth into each of these 5 steps in the following slides. So this is a visual of the approach that we are proposing. At the top are the laws under which LTD must operate. And these laws, like policies, restrict what LTD can and cannot do. LTD is audited by external state and federal auditors to ensure that we operate within the local, federal, state, and accounting laws. The board has great ability to influence the direction of LTD as the values and strategic business plan approved by the board frame all of the decisions that we make. Well-defined policies approved by the board are the boundaries under which LTD operates. These boundaries define the limits on how decisions are made. An example of this is a reserve policy, which defines the size of the reserve fund and the conditions under which it can be used. Policies can also dictate that our budget be structurally balanced or that our assumptions be conservative or objective. Our budgets, long-range financial plan, and community investment plan are also boundaries approved by the board. The most critical influence the board has on these documents is their alignment with the trends and assumptions, which determine short and long-term financial investments and the district's health and priorities. Board monitoring through quarterly finance reports, as well as through the results of the many operational and financial audits, provides the board strong oversight of LTD's financial health. The first tactic to monitor LTD's financial health is to leverage off of the work being done by our external independent auditors. LTD is extensively audited by external state and federal auditors. The purpose of these audits is to give the board, grantors, and the public confidence in the oversight of the financial reporting of the district. The annual audits test detailed transactions, the documentation for those transactions, the internal controls to prevent or detect fraud, malfeasance or irregularities, and the compliance with accounting, state, federal budget, as well as grant laws. The Federal Comprehensive Review covers 21 different areas, including financial management, procurement, and transit asset management, to just name a few. ODOT reviews ensure compliance with state and laws and programs. LTD has received clean audit reports with no findings or deficiencies. We have also continuously received awards for the quality of our reporting. The lack of findings and awards for reporting transparency are noteworthy achievements and should give the board confidence that LTD's operations are strong and in compliance with all state, federal, and grant laws, and that we maintain excellent internal controls that prevent or detect fraud. The results of our many audits are always shared with the board, are reported publicly, and most are also posted on our external website. We are proud that our clean audits show both our financial transparency and that we take our fiscal responsibility very seriously. The second tactic is ensuring LTD's financial health lies with creating good financial policies. Policies guide decision-making and put boundaries on what can or cannot be done with LTD's resources. Policies can ensure that decisions are made with consideration of both the short and long-term impacts. A policy can set the boundaries around a short-term decision like a budget by guiding that the assumption should be conservative or objective. Similarly, a policy can ensure long-term reserve planning for unforeseen events. These policies must be created with careful attention to the trade-off between flexibility and control. For example, policies around the budget, if too restrictive or rigid, can limit the ability to properly allocate resources where they are most needed. Policies should set reasonable boundaries that avert conflicts over resources and provide a more stable response to unanticipated events in the future. They can also ensure long-term financial thinking and focus the board on higher-level strategic decisions and plans rather than the small details that are either audited, not impactful, or provide no value add. The financial policies that I think would be most impactful to LTD's financial health and creatable within the current fiscal year are financial planning, reserve fund, pension funding, and capital planning. LTD is required to have a balanced budget where sources equal uses. However, such a budget may not be balanced over the long term. For example, if federal funds are used to pay for ongoing expenditures, then there will not be adequate funds for investments in aging fleet and infrastructure. A policy can provide more of a rigorous definition of a balanced budget, where only ongoing revenues are matched with ongoing expenditures. Budget policies can also avoid decisions that might have little impact today, but could harm our future financial condition. A policy that ensures that LTD produces a long-term financial plan for its operations and investments is also good governance. The board's policy can guide the approach to budget assumptions. A reserve policy is a best practice. This policy can define the size of the reserve fund that is sufficient to guard against natural disasters or economic downturns. The board can decide what types of reserves we should have and under what conditions those reserves may be used. Pension funding costs LTD over $4 million annually. This cost is to keep the plan healthy and to address the outstanding unfunded pension liability. A pension funding policy, like a reserve policy, can take into account both the short and long term. A policy ensures that short-term pressures are balanced by the need to preserve the health of the pension fund and its ability to meet its long-term obligations. A capital planning policy can commit LTD to developing a long-range perspective on its capital asset investments, or require that the cost to operate and maintain an asset be fully included as part of the capital planning process. The third tactic is for the board to monitor LTD's financial health. Financial health monitoring requires a focus on the financial big picture rather than the small operating details or areas that are adequately audited. It is unrealistic, impractical, and non-value add for the board to have deep expertise in the technical aspects of LTD's financial management, including the regulatory and fiduciary restrictions under which we operate. A more effective approach is for staff to provide information in a clear, laid out, summarized form that focuses on the important information and indicators of LTD's financial health. We've created two sample quarterly reports for the board's consideration. I believe that these two reports provide better clarity of LTD's financial health than what the board currently receives. These two reports are the quarterly financial health indicator dashboard and the quarterly financial report. Both sample reports are in your packet. The final reports will include actual information and all strategic business plan financial metrics. Fourth tactic is to discontinue non-value add financial information. The monthly list of checks issued is non-value add information that diverts the board from the bigger picture and does not help with board decision-making. The open checkbook approach appears to provide transparency, but in the end, is not a helpful level of detail and is not a standard or recommended practice. As mentioned before, the district is heavily audited by external state and federal auditors. Those audits include reviews of detailed transactions and their documented support and approvals. It also includes reviews for fraud and assesses the sufficiency of internal controls to prevent or detect errors or fraud. No question ever asked about a check over the 6 years that I've been here has resulted in a decision or an improvement to the district's financial health. The fifth tactic is one that was discussed during the strategic business plan. As part of implementing the strategic business plan, we are continuously asking what we need to be doing to meet the strategic business plan objectives and what we need to discontinue doing to meet the strategic business plan outcomes. In other words, since time is limited, in order to start doing the things that add the most value, we must stop doing things that don't advance us towards our strategic outcomes. The first thing to stop doing is monthly board reports. Things do not change much from month to month, yet staff time is spent preparing monthly reports. Rather than monthly financial status reports, I'm proposing quarterly financial reports that includes information that is helpful for understanding financial trends and aids decision-making. The existing monthly reports would be replaced with the two reports, the quarterly financial report and the financial health indicators dashboard. The existing CIP grant report takes 15 to 20 hours to produce, but like the monthly disbursements report, does not provide information on LTD's financial health and does not provide any decision-making opportunities for board consideration. We will no longer produce this report either. This is the draft proposed timeline of implementation. The key things to note are the first new quarterly reports will be provided at the November board meeting. We plan to provide updated financial policies for the board's adoption prior to adoption of the fiscal year 23 budget. The new financial policies will be used to prepare the fiscal year 23 budget and updates to the community investment plan. And our goal is to adopt the fiscal year 23 budget, the final community investment plan, and the long range financial plan in May of 2022. As always, thank you so much for your time and collaboration to improve how we manage LTD's financial health.
Thanks, Christina. I'll let Dawn and Susan weigh in, but I think it's great that we're staying current with our practices and just being aligned with other transit agencies. And I like this approach of the financial health monitoring, and I think going quarterly is great. So I just wanted to voice my support. And thanks for sharing this with us. Dawn, Susan, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'd just like to really commend Christina for this work. I've read through these board packets for years and years, and a lot of it has just been tedium, and I'm so glad that I don't have to look at those things, because as she said, there's little that we could do with it. It was basically going back to trusting our finance department and relying on good solid audits. We did have a period with which I felt really uncomfortable with an audit we'd gotten, but that's the past. I really look forward to this new approach. Thank you.
Well said, Dawn. Susan, did you want to chime in at all?
You know, one thing that I think would be helpful is there's a lot of information that is hard to deconstruct and really understand. So I really agree, Dawn, with your points. One thing when it comes in, it's literally like 300 pages. I find that really hard to just kind of go through, and I don't necessarily want to print out 300 pages. So I'm wondering if there are ways to, because there are a lot of, quotes and pictures and things that look really nice, but I don't know that they add to the information. I wonder if there isn't some way to, when it's actually just a financial report, not to have to go to the trouble of including all that other stuff, so it just be the report itself.
Great feedback, Susan. Yes, I will make sure that when we're providing the quarterly financial reports that they don't include extraneous information that isn't helpful. And, the November one will be our first one. And then I would really welcome to hear what kinds of things you think are missing, or what things that you found helpful or not helpful, or if there are things that you think are extraneous, what I could exclude from what's mm-hmm. there. So, and I will try harder to do that during with the other reports that we have in the future. Maybe I try to make the presentations piece of the documents this real summary. So I know that there's a lot, for example, like when we went through the supplemental and the CIP, there was a lot. The main piece where I summarized everything was in the presentation. I took everything that I thought was most important and put mm-hmm. it in the presentation.
Right. I mean, it looks beautiful and it complements the data, but I don't think it really is necessary. And when it takes, you know, takes all the ink out of my printer, I'm sort of going, ah.
Yeah.
So thank you.
I understand. And then the AIS is also the other place that's really, I think, helpful.
Right.
It's also where I'm summarizing whatever I'm trying to communicate to the board or the in a more concise form.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great feedback, Susan. Thank you. Well, we look forward to seeing it in November, and this feels like a good positive step forward. Which I think we can all agree on. So thank you, Christina.
Thank you so much.
All right, so we are actually on our last staff presentation. So Tom is gonna do an update on the fiscal year 2022 service plan. So Tom.
Here.
Present. Welcome.
Yeah, and thanks for having us here. We have some good news to report, and I believe that Jake is going to be coming over here soon as well to join me. But I'm going to share my screen, and we'll get going here. Just to check, you can see the bar graph that I am showing here. Yes. Hello?
We can see it, Tom.
Yes, Tom, we can see your screen. Tom.
Thank you very much. Okay. So many of you have seen this presentation graphic before. We've been showing this using this for the entire period of the pandemic, so quite a while. And I'm pleased to say that we have a significant increase in our ridership in the last month or so, about a 50% increase over what we had at the beginning of September. And all of that is due to the schools coming back, both high schools and the University of Oregon. Some of you might be aware, we also provide service to LCC, and they are currently operating remotely for most of their classes. So there isn't a lot of ridership on those routes right now, but we expect that will pick up as they come back to campus. So what you're seeing here shows that we're operating about, or carrying about 18,000 people a day. Again, that's 50% higher than what we were doing at the beginning of the month, which is about 12,000. And you can see the green dashed line there is the average for this last calendar year, 21. And the 2020 average is shown in the orange line. So, this is an indication that there's a significant increase. However, I would say, 18,000 boardings a day is still about half of what we were operating previously. It's about 56% of our pre-COVID ridership. The other graph that we have here is a bar chart showing the proportion of our overall ridership carried by MX. And you can see it's a pretty good percentage. Right now, about 48-49%. Typically, when the rest of the routes start returning in terms of the ridership, that number will be closer to 40%, but still a substantial number of trips use our MX service. The This next graphic just gives you a sense of ridership by day, by the type of route that we operate. So this is, this shows our connectors and core service, obviously being the high, that's the urban service. The rural service is shown in orange here. It's a pretty steady line across time here. And then we have some other route categories. Actually MX is the dark blue line up there. One of the things we pay attention to is how people are using our service. And one of the things that we look at specifically is what's the ridership levels for our service for trips ending after 8:30 p.m. What we assume is that people using that service after 8:30 p.m. really need to be getting someplace, usually home from work. And so you can see that's been pretty steady, about 1,200 has been pretty steady over the course of the pandemic. It was lower, obviously, earlier on, but this has been pretty steady. One of the things that was exciting for those of us who watched transportation ridership trends is that for a long time, and again, those of you who saw this report previously may recall that, we had, high blue here is the pre-COVID levels of basically ridership by time of day on a given weekday. And you can see there's distinct peaks, and I'll talk about those. There's actually two peaks in the morning and two peaks in the evening. And for a long time, for most of the pandemic, those peaks went away. And you can see that gray bar behind, kind of in the middle of the chart, that shows kind of the smooth line of demand by time of day. And we just didn't have the peaks because not as many people were riding. And again, the types of trips, there's a lot of off campus or remote learning. So that kind of spread out or smoothed out those peaks. That's important from an operational standpoint, because to service the peaks shown in the pre-COVID levels, we're deploying additional buses during those times. So we'll pull buses out during that period of time. We'll bring them back in the middle of the day. We'll put them back out in the evening. So we pay attention to that in terms of indicating what we can anticipate here. So again, we were excited to see the return of the peak. That's a good sign in terms of kind of some kind of regular ridership. Again, as I said, this represents about 56% of our ridership. So we'll look forward to kind of how things continue to grow as the community pulls out of the pandemic. So just a couple of notes on the peaks. So we have the typical commute peak that's happening in that 6:30 to 7 in the morning timeframe. These are people going from home to work. And then later in the morning, around 8:39, we've got this is largely driven by school trips. University in particular has a peak during that time. Then you can see if the ridership per hour, if you will, drops a little bit in that midday period, but starts rising as the high schools in particular are getting out, and then the U of O as well. There's a peak of ridership there handling that. A lower peak, actually, if you kind of draw your cursor across to the morning commute peak, it's about the same. That's the work commute, kind of going from work to home. And then, as I said before, the trips after 8:30 are pretty steady after that. So that kind of explains a day in the life of our service. And you can kind of get a sense of how we're recovering. Again, the patterns are looking very, very healthy. That's kind of duplicate of what I was showing before. But the other thing that we watch and have been tracking our non-emergency medical trips and ADA trips, which are handled through the call center and managed by RideSource and other services. That trip making has been, you can see the highest that we had was July, this last July, and the lowest was April 20, which is when we were, everything was low at that point. And the same goes for the ADA trips. And so what we've seen is people, you know, people are continuing to use the service, but there hasn't been yet a growth in the demand for those services. And, you know, people are still, you know, these are people that might be older, have medical conditions. They're just not coming out like you'd see students come out, but we can continue to track that and expect that ridership to recover as well. So that's the overview of what things look like. We are in the midst of, and some of you have heard us talk about this before, we have three service changes a year. Those are what we call bids. So the drivers bid on service three times a year, the fall, which we just implemented here in late September. The winter bid will be late January, early February, and then the summer bid is late June. So as we plan for the winter bid, again, and you've heard some of this already, but there have been constraints in terms of the number of operators we can hire or that are available. And so we have not added as much service as we otherwise would have to address some of the demand. We're about, like I said, 80% of our previous level of service, pre-pandemic level of service, and about 56% of the ridership. So as we're looking forward to the winter bid, we're looking at trying to assess and balance what we expect to have in terms of operator force. And we'll be looking at, we're looking at a couple scenarios, one that would be basically continuing the level of service we have now, and one that might provide some minor increases, but probably not getting to full service until, or full pre-pandemic level of service until perhaps later next fiscal year. But that's a longer term planning from a service planning standpoint. So that's kind of what we're looking at this point. And Jake, I'd ask you to add any comments or maybe if you don't have any, we can just go to questions.
No, the only thing I would comment on real quickly is just the, you know, the significance of ridership and the service that we're putting out there. So the one thing that we are getting is we're getting data and we're seeing how we're returning to transit. And we're dealing with the same thing that other transit agencies are dealing with, is around that 50%, give or take, up or down ridership. So what we don't want to do is we don't want to put a bunch of buses out there that are running empty, obviously. But in the same breath, we also want to be able to address things like the children that are the kids that are going to need maybe our service to supplement some of the service that they're not getting from the school district. So that is vital. And that's why we continue to, we may not necessarily change the service a lot, but we want to make sure that we're prepared to address some of those issues if we need to add extra service to our existing service to support the school districts and that type of ridership.
So questions or comments?
Do you want to stop sharing so we can do a gallery just so we can see Susan and Don if they're trying to talk?
I would just say I saw this report earlier, and I'm impressed with just how well all this is being monitored and used to plan what you're doing to anticipate where things are going, but also remain staying fluid and nimble, I guess, not really knowing exactly what's going to happen. So appreciate the effort that went into all this.
Yeah, nimble's a good word for where we're at.
Nimble, not nibble, right?
Nimble, yes.
Oh, nimble.
To be clear.
No, I concur with Susan.
Yeah, both Dawn and Susan saw this presentation just yesterday. So.
Oh, wow. You guys are the experts then. Well, then in my case, Tom, I don't have questions since I'm okay. Only one to not see it. I always appreciate getting the ridership updates.
Sure. And we'll be coming back as we have any news to share on how things are going.
Cool. Well, Jake and Tom, thanks for being here and thanks for the presentation. We appreciate it and being updated. And I think that we will let you guys go, but thank you again. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna take a look over at Susan and Dawn. Did you have any questions about any of the written reports? Okay, no?
No, I have no questions.
Okay, so thanks everyone for being nimble today. With the absence of two board members and also great discussion. Appreciate all of the staff members also presented. Don't forget work session on November 3rd, which will be fairly packed full of lots of agenda items. Otherwise, as Mark said, for everyone else, board retreat is on December 1st. So just kind of keep these dates in mind, and then we'll have our regular board meeting in November. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and close out. Thank you everyone for being here this evening, and we are officially adjourned.
Thanks everybody.
Bye guys.
It's a rare early adjournment.
Mark, you know that's my style. You know that's my favorite thing to do.
Good job.
Thanks everyone.
Thanks.
Bye.